a DUP MLA is planning to bring forward a private members bill at Stormont to introduce a conscience clause in the aspects of equality law. It follows the Equality Commission's civil case against Ayrshire's baking company after it refused to bake a cake with a pro-gay marriage slogan. Paul Gibbons said he would launch a consultation on his bill, which he hoped would avoid similar legal cases. We can speak to Paul now. Paul, good morning to you.
Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning to you. Just before we do so, sorry, Paul, I'm stalling here because I see just on the wires here that the police have responded to about the death threat to your colleague, the DP's Gregory Campbell. I'm just reading from the police line here. They say, we do not comment on specific threats. However, if we receive information that an individual may need to review their security, we will take steps to inform them immediately. It's our understanding, it's from your press office that Gregory has received a death threat. Have you anything to say about this?
Well, that's my understanding as well, that he has received a specific threat and a very serious one. And obviously he's not been able to come onto your programme this morning because he's had to go and speak to the police about this and reflect on what has happened and obviously take precautions in that respect. Obviously that's very alarming that people may disagree with what Gregory has said and how he has said it, but nobody, irrespective of their political party, should ever be faced with a death threat against them because of their views and how they communicate those views. So I would appeal to those that have issued that threat to remove it. And I would also appeal to other people who want to go over the top in reacting to Gregory's comments, and they've accused him of being bigoted, sectarian, racist, and that's language that actually fuels the people who then issue these threats. So people do need to be careful with their language.
Has your party got any responsibility to try to take tension out of the situation?
I think everybody needs to be mindful of the words that they use and the way in which that is communicated. Gregory has sought to make it clear to Sinn Féin that actually we do want to get down to serious negotiations. We do want to find common ground so that we can work through the problem.
But if their wish list is toilet paper and that's your party position, what chance have those talks got?
This issue is one where if you're trying to find common ground, you need to come to the table with reasonable proposals. And Sinn Féin are continuing to push this particular issue about an Irish Language Act, which we dealt with as a party back in 2007, and it was stopped and it wasn't implemented despite the efforts of the government.
They signed up to the St Andrews Agreement, which says the government will introduce an Irish Language Act, reflecting on the experience of Wales and Ireland, and work with the incoming executive to enhance and protect the development of the Irish language. You signed up to it.
Well, what we signed up to was the St Andrews Agreement Act that was legislated for, and you'll not find anywhere in the legislation that made provision for an Irish Language Act. The agreement referenced the Irish language, but there was nothing in the legislation.
I want to talk about your conscience clause in a second, Paul, but just finally, John O'Dowd has sent a very stark message to your party through this programme this morning. He has said, quote, "The talks are doomed to failure," end of quote, if you do not retract your comments about their wish list being toilet paper. Now, that's how serious this is.
Well, people can talk up what has been said, and anyone can find an excuse to try and walk away from the talks. Our party isn't walking away from it. We're very serious. We've engaged extensively on it, both internally and in the team that we've put forward.
Kyle Paisley says Gregory Campbell has shamed unionism.
And again, we have engaged extensively on these talks programmes, and we're not walking away from them. And if other people want to use this issue as an excuse, that's a matter for them. We're not doing that. We're engaging in a serious process, but we need to establish where there is proper common ground, not pushing particular agendas where there is no prospect of getting agreement, and an Irish Language Act will not happen.
Are the talks in trouble if John O'Dowd's saying they're doomed to failure?
I don't believe that they are. I think people need to draw breath a little bit, put it in the context of what was said at the party conference, and not overhype something.
Yeah, but hold on a minute, Paul. It's the timing of the party conference. You know, you guys know what you're doing. You know exactly what you're doing. You knew the talks. You were in the middle of the talks. You have a party conference. Gregory Campbell's put in the platform. He talks about toilet paper on a Sinn Féin negotiation wish list. Now, your strategist would have known what reaction that would get. Not from your supporters, but from your political opponents. So what are you trying to do? You're trying to goad Sinn Féin into walking out of those talks. Is that your strategy?
No, it's not. But what we are trying to put a realisation on them, a dawning moment, a switching on of the light moment, that if they continue to pursue objectives that are so unreasonable, then the talks are going to struggle. Now, what we need to find is the common ground, and I believe that
so
we
treat them with respect. Retract the comment. Do you stand by Gregory Campbell describing Sinn Féin's wish list as toilet paper?
Of course I stand by Gregory Campbell. Gregory Campbell.
No, his comments, the specific, do you believe Sinn Féin's wish list is toilet paper?
The wish list that is seeking to have an Irish Language Act is pie in the sky. It's not going to happen. So you can describe it as pie in the sky, as toilet paper, whatever language you want to use. And I've no difficulty with the language that Gregory did use. It is trying to put a realisation on Sinn Féin that they need to engage in areas where we can find common ground. I think there is progress being made around some of that common ground. But if we're going to get a genuine agreement, then we need to start coming forward with sensible proposals that can actually get consensus.
Let's talk about your conscience clause. This is in the aspects of a quality law. This is well beyond, Paul, the Eicher's cake story, isn't it? For example, this could apply to gay people who want to avail of services within a bed and breakfast. You believe that the owner should be able to turn them away. Is that true?
That's correct. And part of the issue around the B&B case, which got a lot of headlines around the Bull case, where the Supreme Court ruled that they shouldn't have their conscience upheld, that they should have provided that service. The deputy president of the Supreme Court went on to say in a speech that she gave to the Irish Law Society in Dublin recently that I am not sure that our law has yet found a reasonable accommodation and whether we would be better off with a more nuanced approach. So Baroness Hale, that actually presided in that particular case, has highlighted this publicly, that she isn't sure that there is a reasonable accommodation for people to have their conscience upheld. And that is something that I think we need to debate and explore and have a civic conversation around it, because companies like Eicher's are clearly got a Christian ethos, and we need to have this discussion in society as to whether or not companies like them should be allowed to provide their service. Or are we going to say that if you have a particular faith-based ethos, so, as an individual and an organisation, you need to close up shop, make people unemployed, and lose your livelihood? Now, that to me...
Or treat people with equality.
And they do. Eicher's do not refuse anybody, nor indeed would I support anybody wanting to refuse an individual purely on the basis of sexual orientation or indeed their religious belief.
Okay, so let me bring this back to the bed and breakfast scenario, the bed and breakfast example. So a gay person walks up to a B&B and tries to book a room for the night. Just to be clear, you support that business, a gay couple, you support that business turning them away, do you? No gays allowed?
What I support is that B&B being able to carry out its service in a way in which they can observe their religious beliefs. And if that means it is against their own deeply held views that they cannot be complicit in affirming an activity that they regard as going against their conscience, then I believe a society should make a reasonable accommodation for those people. To me, that is not unreasonable.
So you believe that gay couple should be can be turned away, correct?
Well, I think that people who gay people, if they want to use a B&B, would use a facility where they would be able to use that facility. Are we saying that...
But just to be clear, you believe that they can be turned away?
Yes, I believe that a B&B owner, and indeed broaden it out, any organisation, individual, that has deeply held religious beliefs... should be able to live in compliance with their conscience.
So does your conscience clause extend beyond sexuality? So let's take religion, for example. I don't know. Let's say you had a pastor that didn't trust any Muslim. Could that pastor say, sorry, I own a business, get out, no Muslims allowed?
No, and I would be wholly opposed to individuals and organisations that provide goods and services being able to turn people away on the basis of their religious views, their political views, or indeed their sexual orientation. That's not what this is about. Where it moves and changes is whenever an organisation is asked to do something or to be complicit in something and produce something that they find to be against their conscience. And where are their rights for those individuals in terms of their conscience being upheld?
Where would it work, for example, with adoption? How would it work with adoption?
Well, you raise a very good point, because in England, when gay marriage was introduced, the Catholic Church warned that this would have severe implications for their adoption agencies, and the Catholic Church has had to withdraw from that. So is society saying that same-sex couples should have the right to access adoption from anywhere? but that Catholic couples can't then use the Catholic adoption agencies somewhere. And there's the balance. And I think in a tolerant society, in a liberal society, we need to find the space to accommodate difference. We're not all the same. And we are often encouraged to celebrate difference. But yet here we have a company that is being persecuted by the Equality Commission because of their Christian beliefs. That's intolerant. And that's something that I think we need to be addressing. And I intend to do that through a private member's bill.
Okay. Paul Given, thank you very much indeed.